2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. That music and the intro, of course, let it known. This is, of course, the NFL Roundup. Daily NFL stories for you to be able to get your football fix, even though it's not even June yet. Hey, June tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
June's going to be tomorrow. That's freaking wild, isn't it?
You know what today is?
May 31st.
It is. It's National Utah Day.
Is it really?
It's a national day for Utah. Yeah, so...
Yesterday was National Women's Golf Day. That's why we had the announcement of the LPGA Tour coming to it. So that's interesting. It is. So it's National Utah Day.
Yes.
What do we want people to know about us that that we could let them know?
Fry sauce.
At a national level.
Fry sauce.
Yeah.
Jell-O.
See, but I'm proud of... I think Jell-O 1 is much maligned, has no reason to get made fun of. It's good.
Oh, Jell-O's amazing. Good. Wonderful.
Fry sauce is amazing. Okay?
Great on fries.
But...
I mean,
as long as we're talking about it, might as well just point it out. It's good with fries.
You know where
it's a shocker.
Yeah.
Arctic Circle. Is that where you're going to ask
about? No, you say you know where they first cooked French fries.
I'm not doing this. I already went through it. In Greece.
There you go.
Okay. I'm ready for it. Well, what are we trying to let people know? Well, let's give them a fact. Let's give them a couple facts. So Utah state facts, okay? So, since it's National Utah Day, maybe you didn't know this about Utah, 45th state in the union.
Yeah, they didn't let Utah join for a long time. Don't upset the federal government.
See, now this part starts to get me grumpy. Salt Lake City hosts the Sundance Film Festival every year.
Yeah.
That is not Salt Lake City. That's Park
That's
City.
Correct. But they do have viewing venues in Salt Lake.
I will tell. Yeah, those are like, hey, oh man, where are we getting our film screened? They're like Salt Lake City. Yeah. Oh, okay.
You have to kind of earn your way into Sundance.
Into Park City. Well, Sundance is funny because, you know, when somebody's not from here and you go, well, we're going to go up to Sundance and we're going to ride the lifts up there, maybe hike around, maybe go to Stuart Falls. And you're like, oh, Sundance. And you're like, it's not the same. Not the one you're thinking of. It's not the thing you're thinking of. So don't think that we're going to go up there and it's going to be where they do the movies.
And it's going to be Robert Redford. Well, although Robert Redford did own Sundance.
Do you know what our state animal is?
A state animal?
It's not the it's not the cutthroat. It's not the Bonneville cutthroat.
No, it's I want to say it's like it's a ground rodent. It's the pot gut.
It's the pot gut.
Is it the pot
gut? No, it's not the pot gut. We have a little bit more class than that, you doofus.
Wow. Pot guts are cute.
Now, the pot gut are basically like...
they're ground squirrels.
Right. They're like they're without kind of not much of a tail, right?
No.
Okay. Pot gut. I just like the name of them. But that's not our state animal, no.
Oh.
It's more majestic.
I know what it is.
Very much more majestic.
I actually know what it is.
What is it?
It's the elk.
It is the elk.
Is it the Rocky Mountain elk?
It just says elk.
Elk.
In parentheses, it says run of the mill.
Just your good old standard.
Gun. Yeah. So there's some of the things. Welcome to Utah, everybody. If you're visiting, we want to say thank you. And if you were thinking about leaving, we never liked you anyway. So there you go. Utahns are more likely. We're the most red people in the country. We read the most books per capita of any other people.
Oh, I thought you meant like conservative read.
No, well, there might be that too. Yeah. Although we always get beat out by places like Idaho and Wyoming. Yeah. And some Montana's in there. Eight Native American tribes that are native to here to Utah. 2002 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
They were here, Scott.
Didn't have them again, too.
Let me see. More people visit Temple Square than any other place. Although right now.
Utah?
Yeah, I'd say right now.
National parks are kind of.
National parks are big time. And I would say, yes. State symbol. You know what the state symbol is?
Beehive.
No, that's like the emblem, right? That's like our.
The symbol?
Yeah, the state symbol. I thought this was quite weird. The Dutch oven. It's the state symbol.
Dutch
oven. I'm not kidding.
Dutch oven cooking's a thing, and it's pretty darn good.
They get crazy with it. So there you go. All right. So there's some, because it's National Utah Day, we wanted to commemorate it. So there you go. We should have done more with that. I feel like with the University of Utah, we should have had some sort of collaboration.
Yes.
National Utah Day. So, the Dutch oven is has been designated also as the state's official cooking pot. Boy, we are so bored sometimes in Congress, aren't we?
Bunch of prairie folks.
What you got in that Dutch oven? Some pot gut? Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, NFL roundup. So, Scott, Brock Purdy, I don't know if you know this. According to John Lynch, I don't know if he'd say anything else. He says he's incredibly encouraged because Brock Purdy's throwing motion is looking on point. Says a safety, right? A former safety.
See, you never trust a defensive guy in his evaluation of a quarterback at all. He doesn't know.
Well, he has to break it down. He's the GM, man.
That looks good to me. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that.
That was a spiral, Bill.
I mean, it's like the guy had his arm ripped off, you know? And, I mean, I think anything probably is an improvement.
Probably looks better. That throwing motion. Yeah. Well, they feel a lot better about it. It's the best case scenario for us right now. We hope he's ready for training camp. The hope is that he's ready also for the regular season. None of those things, by the way, sound any very positive at all. Well, we hope he's ready for training camp and really that he could be ready for the season, but we don't know.
Do you know what would drive you nuts, or drive me nuts anyways? If I was in John Lynch's position, it would drive me nuts if you feel, because they're so close. I mean, they have so many of the pieces right on that team. I mean, they are just right there. And the quarterback situation is just a bugaboo. I mean, it is just so
hard to figure out.
They thought they had the guy in Jimmy Garoppolo. I remember Jimmy Garoppolo's first five games when he was there, and they have just been so snake bitten. And it's a lot like when John Lynch played in Tampa Bay. You know, just never really had a quarterback until they kind of brought Brad Johnson in for a hot minute,
and even then.
And it's just it's got to be a frustrating thing when you just can't ever get a position. You just get
I was thinking about Brad Johnson because it's not like he was a world beater. You know, they won that title. Everybody kind of looked at him and went, "Yeah, that's Tony Dungy's defense." But do you look at a guy back in your career and you go, "That guy, I have this semi kind of hate for because you're so jealous of the situation they were in versus the situation with you were.
Well, when I got drafted, Jeff George.
Oh, because he was the
first pick in the draft. I'm like, man, that guy's playing. You know who another guy who kind of made out pretty well is Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah, man.
Third round draft choice of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, and he just hung around, didn't he?
And he hung around for a long, long time.
Long enough to throw two terrible interceptions in the 1995 Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl.
To Larry Johnson.
And a nice guy, a good guy.
Or Larry, what was his name? Larry, actually I can see it on his.
You know who kind of rubbed me wrong?
Who?
Because so his first year playing was my last year in the NFL.
Who?
Was Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Like you sit there and you just go, really? Like the tuck rule, and you're just like, you're kind of like, he's just a placeholder. He's not really. You know, he didn't come in and just light the world on fire like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he eased into it big time.
But he just kept winning. And you get in the Super Bowl, and everyone, like, you know who was the biggest don't do this guy?
Who?
John Madden. Listen to John Madden play his call of the final 2 minutes of the Super Bowl. This is a mistake. Play for overtime. Don't have Tom Brady out there trying to lead your team down the field to victory. He's out there saying this.
He's like, who is this guy?
And then about halfway through it, he says, well, wait a minute. He's got a chance right here.
Wow.
Because they got Vinatieri, right?
Right.
So they know, we just got to get it close.
Get us to the 38.
We just got to get it close. And it took years, Alex, before I ever just said, nah. Okay, Tom, you're good.
Yeah, he's fine. He's good. You finally earned that. And now does he top the list as best ever for you?
Yeah.
Just like everybody else?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I always love this idea of a crossover. So Harry Kane, who is England's captain, and he's the all-time leading goal scorer in English football history, right? So he's like kind of a big deal. He is saying that he plays for Tottenham Hotspurs right now. He said he would love to give it a go to be a kicker in the NFL.
I would love to see some of those guys.
Who are world-class legs.
Yes, yeah.
World-class soccer players. And see if you go, okay, you know what it takes to hone yourself and get yourself into a spot where you could be the top, top, top of your game. Could you make the adjustment enough for you to be able to be a kicker in the NFL? Obviously, no one's going to question whether or not you have a strong leg, but it is a different ball, obviously. Scott, I don't know if you know this, Captain Obvious. It's a different ball. It's got a different shape to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can't get the same.
It's not round.
Not going to act the
same. I think it would be easier.
To kick a football?
Yeah.
The end over end situation?
Well, no, because you can get more of your foot underneath the ball.
Mm. Well, Harry Kane says he wants to give it a go. He's 29 years old. I don't know what that is in football. You're in soccer years.
The problem, he's late, though, because the NFL basically now is saying what I think we've all known. Kickers aren't really football players. Like they're
ask
kind of,
Matt Gay though. You sign up, you'll get $5 million a year, man.
But they're kind of making them obsolete.
See, but that's what's good about this. Harry Kane has probably earned $250 million dollars over his.
So
over
what does
his,
he care?
Right, and so he's just going and goes, I'm going to try it. He says, I know it's going to be a lot of work. It's definitely something I want to explore. I mean, the idea of going over, living in the States, maybe go kick in Miami. English people love Florida, man.
Yeah, they
have
do.
Live in Miami. Have him kick for the. By the way, I would freaking dial in like crazy. Like crazy.
You know who was really good?
Who?
They had one of the women's.
Oh, it was Carly Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carly Lloyd, she had like a 54-yard.
That's a legitimate leg
yeah,
right there.
She hit like a 54-yard field goal in practice for the Eagles, and everyone kind of laughed it off and kind of like, whoa, that's fun. And you go, you guys realize that if you're desperate enough, you need somebody. I would love to take a shot on somebody like Carly Lloyd.
How is Breece Hall optimistic that he can come back in week one from an ACL tear?
He got injured in October.
Right, and that's over 2 months before Cam Rising, and everyone's like, Cam Rising going to be ready week one for
maybe, but listen, not all ACLs are created equal, you know?
Well, what's
but
the
in terms
difference?
Of the recovery, I don't know. Not only are they optimistic, Scott, the word was, what was the word that Robert Saleh used? Freaking amazing. That's what he said, freaking amazing. Well, like the guy's an honorary Utahn for National Utah Day. It's freaking amazing how
he's
coming back.
I can see Breece Hall coming back. I could see that. But Cam Rising 2 months
so
later?
So when they give you that type of timeline then with Breece Hall, and he goes, hey, I feel pretty confident. I might be back for game one, but he got injured in October, same ACL type of situation. I don't know. The thing is we don't know the full nature of what either injury really is. I'm not an orthopedist.
Well, what it's an AC tell, I mean, a tear. I mean, what don't we know?
I don't know. Is it a partial? Is it full?
Well, it's surgery. I mean,
it is surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it's surgery, it's kind of.
Yeah.
No matter what, if you tear an ACL, it's surgery.
Who knows? All right.
Somebody knows.
I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Aaron Rodgers, by the way. People saying that he absolutely ghosted the Packers during the whole negotiation process and that now he's refusing to talk to people. And Aaron Rodgers says, no, I talk to people that I actually want to talk to. One of the people is not the GM, for example. Basically, the people who aren't being talked to and they go, he's ghosting us. He's like, well, no, I purposefully don't chat. Look, when you get older, you know how this is. We choose to.
So Aaron,
that's something you find out later. You go, are there people who I want to talk to in life? I don't want to waste my time with people that aren't interesting.
That's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not old. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who he's manipulating the narrative. Because back in the day, he goes, I just didn't like how the Packers handled it. And now today, he's saying, oh, I purposely ghosted certain people I didn't like. So he can't have it both ways. And that's just my concern with Aaron Rodgers.
They wanted to move on, and so do I, says Aaron Rodgers. So there you go. He's moved on. So stop trying to get a phone call from him. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And when we do, we have our 2-minute drill around the corner. You don't want to miss any of that. Stay right here with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.